This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, good Thursday to all of you. It's almost Memorial Day weekend, which means the kickoff of summer, and I cannot think of a better author for us to have today on the show. I am Patricia W. Fisher, and I am your host of Readers Entertainment Radio. Today, we are going to be talking to Jeannie Moon, who is a wonderfully prolific author, and I'm super excited to tell you all about her stuff. Jeannie Moon has always been a romantic. When she's not spinning tales of her own, Jeannie works as a school librarian, thankful she has a job that allows her to immerse herself in books. She can find characters in schools, boardrooms, hospitals, shops, construction sites, courtrooms, patrol cars, farms, and libraries, and come to life on an imaginary playing field and in ice rinks, even. When she was in college, Jeannie planned on becoming a famous sportscaster. However, never being objective, she leaned more towards the publicity side of the business, doing work for local papers and local teams. But the plan took a detour, and she found herself in front of a classroom teaching English and found out English was in her blood, and she was hooked. Now Jeannie's a mom, a wife, a teacher, a librarian, contemporary romance author. That's a lot of hats. And it's the last part, the romance author, that's allowed her to connect with so many lovers of romance and the happily ever after stories she writes so well. Jeannie, to date, has 16 books to her credit, including the Forever Love series, and she's part of the Men of Marietta series with the book Taming the Deputy. She's married to her high school sweetheart. Jeannie has 3 kids, 3 lovable dogs, and resides on Long Island, New York, or as a friend of mine told me, it's Long Island. I don't know if I said that right. And if she's more than 10 miles away from saltwater for any longer than a week, she gets really twitchy. So now if you want to visit her after the show, you go to www.jeanniemoon.com. And now, welcome, Jeannie Moon. Hey, Jeannie.
Hey, how are you? Good to be here.
I'm good. I am so excited. You know, summer's almost here. So
yes.
With you being a school librarian, are you about ready for the kids to pack their books up and go home?
Yeah, we have I'm in a high school now, and this is my 31st year teaching. So,
wow, okay.
Yeah, and it's still a good day. You know, it's still a good day at work. And but yeah, we have, I think, after tomorrow, I think we only have like 8 contact days before finals start. So,
Okay.
We go later because we go from Labor Day to the end of June, and the state regents exams start for the kids, and their classes, their final exams and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm ready. They're ready.
I bet.
Which is why I'm ready.
You need some salt water, just some salt water therapy.
I do.
Huh?
I will dig my beach chair out and stick it in the back of my car. And I tend to try to go to the beach a few mornings a week in the summer very early. And I'll sit and read for a little while just to be near. And I live only about we have 2 sides to Long Island. That's the nice thing. We have the Long Island Sound side, which is the North Shore. The beaches are quieter. They're a little rockier. We don't have surf. And then if you go south, we have obviously the Atlantic Ocean. And
right.
But I go north, and I'm about 10 minutes from a beach. So it's great. It's great, and
so
it's always been that way.
Speaking of taking a book and going to the beach and reading, what mm-hmm. was your very first romance novel you read?
Oh, gosh. It was probably a Janet Daly.
Okay.
That I got from my Aunt Sophie.
Yes,
and
I saw that. Aunt Sophie supplied
Aunt
you with
Sophie,
Harlequin books. Yes.
She did. She was a seamstress. She was my father's older sister. My father's the youngest of 13 children. And
wow.
Her real name was Octavia. And because
what
she was the eighth. She was the eighth child. So Octavia in Italian. And so but she used to keep the stacks of books, and when we go to visit her, she'd always like slip one in my bag. Like, because my mother was a little more prudish. So my Aunt Sophie would slip one in my bag. But then my first really big romance that I read was Kathleen Woodiwiss. I read The Flame and the Flower.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
I graduated to Patrice Small's Sky O'Malley series. And
right.
The original Avon ladies, they were, you know, they were the fodder, the true old bodice rippers that
right.
that changed romance for everybody.
Right.
have a lot to be thankful
for.
They really
had some
did.
Pretty powerful women. I mean, they really
did.
Empowered their heroines.
They did. And
yeah.
It was funny because Bertrice Small, who passed away not too long ago, she was a
right.
member of my chapter. And I've met her several times, and she was just this wonderfully elegant, old-school, you know, woman who would still address dearest reader. You know, she would be
yeah.
from your most appreciative author, you know, and things like that. She was lovely. But Sky O'Malley, man, she made 50 Shades of Grey look like candy. It was really, it was like kitty stuff because some of the stuff Bertrice wrote, it was really, really, really rough. And you just don't expect it. Everybody was like, did you read that book? I go, I did. I think I was like 17
yeah.
or something like that when I read it. Yeah.
Well, so write that down, listeners. Bertrice Small, Sky O'Malley series. So write
mm-hmm.
that down. So if you like 50 Shades.
Yeah.
So what romance novel have you read more than once?
Oh, Bet Me by Jennifer Crusie.
Yeah.
I love that book. And it's a good
it never gets
comfort.
Old.
Oh, my gosh. It's what I call a gateway romance.
Yeah.
So if I ever have anybody, there are two. Bet Me is one, and I always tell people, if you're not sure about romance, read this.
Okay.
And then the other one is The Best Man by Kristen Higgins. I pass that on to people all the time. But the other one I've read multiple times is Pride and Prejudice. I mean,
sure,
you know, and that was, it was lovely because you could read that and nobody, you know, for a long time, nobody thought you were reading a romance novel. It was Pride and Prejudice. It was a classic.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
I love that.
And I tell people, you know, when they say, oh, well, I really don't read romance. And I said, you do know, I said, that today's genre fiction are tomorrow's classics.
Right.
I said, because genre fiction reflects the time and the society in which they were written. I said, and that's
right.
what happened with Pride and Prejudice, and that's what's going to happen with something like Bet Me or The Best Man. You know, in years, we're going to look at it, and it's going to be a mirror on who we were at this time.
Right.
So.
And you have a really good insight of that when you're in the library, because being in high school, you know, the what's offered is obviously a much broader spectrum than, say, if
mm-hmm.
you're working elementary school.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, the canvas is much larger. So, I mean, what do you... When you're offering books, when kids are like, I just want to read something fun,
mm-hmm.
it obviously depends on the kid.
Yeah,
but,
it does.
I mean, have you ever had someone say, oh, gosh, no, I don't read romance, and you say, well, if you read this, you have.
Yeah, I have, and I do that all the time. And you know, my first question to a kid, because, you know, it's tough for them. They read voraciously pretty much through middle school, and then they hit high school, and everything else distracts them. So even kids
right.
that were really, really dedicated readers when they were younger tend to lose that. So they come back and they'll say, well, I haven't read anything in a while. And I'll look and I'll say, okay, well, what was the last movie you really liked? You know, what was the last what TV shows do you watch? What, you know, all those different things. And that's what I give, you know, I try to base it on. So, you know, if a kid comes to me and tells me they like, you know, that they like The Hunger Games, then I can find them something to go along with that. But the romance, the YA romances, what I love about them so much is they're so diverse.
Yeah.
They're so wonderfully diverse. They cross color lines, they cross, you know, ethnic lines, they cross societal lines, they cross gender lines, everything, and the kids don't care.
Right.
And I tell that to my, you know, my friends who are, you know, we're so concerned, you know, and we're seeing that there are very underrepresented voices, especially in romance.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I tell people, I go, don't worry, they're coming. I said, the readers are on
right.
their way. They really are, because the kids don't care. They'll pick up an LGBT teen romance. They don't care. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
And it's awesome. It is really awesome.
It is awesome.
And
it's wonderful to see.
So what I'll do is I try to get a sense of who they are and what they want. They want to read something fun. Well, do you want to read an adventure? Do you want to read? And they'll say, well, I don't know if I want a romance. And I'll go, try this. You know, if
right.
somebody says, oh, I really loved Romeo and Juliet, and I'll put Perfect Chemistry in their hands by Simone Alkoholic.
Okay.
Because that is definitely a Romeo and Juliet type story, the star-crossed lovers without the death.
Right. Right.
You know, without the six deaths. You know.
Right.
My fifth grader
was reading, it was a juvenile version of Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. and by Cherry Hill Publications out of London. And she was sitting there and she was reading it, and she came up to me halfway through it and handed it back to me. She goes, "This is horribly depressing. These kids are stupid. I don't want to read this far."
Yes. And I said, "Oh my God, it was so romantic." I said, "No, it was a tragedy. It was a tragedy." I said, "But if you like that whole idea of people, you know, the feuding type of families and the from the wrong side of the tracks and, you know, the forbidden love and all that," I said, "definitely try this one." And Simone Alcalis has written those three books in that series, and they're wonderful. And the kids come back. I had kids who are total non-readers who have said to me, "I don't want to read." And I'll say, "Read this." And they're back. They can't stop. I had a teacher come down and go, "Well, what are you going to give her? You know, she has to read this book. It's part of her end of the year project, whatever." I said, "Don't worry. I'll take care of it." And he says, "You're going to give her one of those romance books?" I said, "Just stop. I'll take care of it." And he got a little snooty. You know, he's a little bit of a lit snob, you know, and I said, "Just take care of it." He came in at the end of the year. He goes, "I have to give you credit." He goes, "She's totally turned around. Totally."
Yeah.
He goes, "This kid can't stop." When she finished that series, she started another one. And now she said, my friends will want to know what's wrong with me because I stay home on Friday nights to read.
Wow. Tremendous.
I was like, it was great. It's a great experience. And that's what I love about romance is that it does bring – It touches people. It lets you feel. That's
right, and it encourages you to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
that's
does.
A big deal.
It does.
So,
and
what was the very first book you wrote?
And
will it ever see the light of day?
Well, I did write a book when I was 9, because I didn't read. I hated the book that I was assigned for a book report, so I wrote my own instead.
Excellent.
But, yeah, it was interesting. I didn't get full credit on that, but I did try. And then I used to write short stories when I was in high school. And I kept them in a binder. And my friends in school and some of the other, you know, kids I wasn't even that close to, they knew that I wrote these wonderfully angsty romance stories. And they would come and they'd borrow them and then bring them back the next day. And
nice.
So I had this binder that I carried with me. And then I kind of lost track because I went in and I was a journalist and I did other stuff. But the first full-length romance book I wrote was a book called Playing Field. And it took me 9 months to write. The story hit me. I always said I had a book in me. You know, I knew that. The story hit me like a ton of bricks one afternoon. I came home, looked at my husband and said, I dropped the grocery bags. I said, "I have to go write this down before I forget it." And he said, "Just go." I locked myself in my office. I scrawled out a basic framework of it. And it was two parts. And it was when they were teenagers. And then later on when they got back together. And there was a secret baby. And there was this suspense. And there was, oh my God. It had so much going on. Looking at it now, it makes my head hurt.
Right. It's like there's really four books here.
At least four books. And so it was like 125,000 words, and it was
this
massive tome. So I read it through twice after I finished, I guess about 3 weeks, and then decided it was a masterpiece.
Of course.
And I started querying, and I managed to get a couple of bites. And one of them was from an editor at NAL who has since retired. And I sent it off, you know, I printed the manuscript and sent it in a package.
Right.
And because this was in 2002, I think.
Right.
And I got it back like 3 weeks later. And she did send the book back. And it had marks in it. And a really lovely letter. And I was crushed. But the letter said, "There's something very special here." She says, "It needs a lot of work." She says, but you have a voice, so don't stop trying.
That's great.
It was amazing. And she made some suggestions. And as it turned out later on, I did end up landing an agent. It was my very first agent, and she worked on me with it, and we got close, but it was a sports romance in 2002.
Okay.
And they weren't buying sports romances in 2002.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Unless you were Susan Elizabeth Phillips.
Right.
Or Rachel Gibson, and that was it. So they said, oh, women don't like these. And I'm going, yeah, they do. Women love athletes. I'm sorry.
You look at
a hockey player, all hot and sweaty on the ice. I'm sorry, your hormones head south. There's just no way around that. But
explosions.
So that book actually never ended up getting published in that form. What happened was is that I took the characters and the basic premise, and I turned it into my first Thule book, which was this Christmas. Yeah, which was a novella.
Okay.
Yeah. So they didn't die. They just went to a different place. So that was my very first book. And then, And it went from there.
I mean, there's always that conversation about people talk about why should I be part of a romance writer? I mean, why should I be part of a writer's group at all? I know what I'm doing. Yeah. And I think I think it's good to be a part of a group. So when you get feedback like this, you can take it to your group and say, they said this, and I'm devastated. But your group gets to say, but they said this, and they actually sent it back. And you got to, you know, I think it's important to understand from the get-go that criticisms can just goes hand in hand with this business.
I've been a member of Long Island Romance Writers for a number of years. I was active early on, and I joined after that first round of rejections, and then I, you know, worked with my agent, and then some things started happening, and it was good to have that group to bounce things off of. I lapsed for a little while. I stopped writing for a little while. I'd had I had a car accident, and I was okay, but it was very hard for me to sit and write. So it was just one of those things where I had to just step away for a while. But when I went back to it, I rejoined, and that's when, I think I had a real appreciation for what the group could give me and RWA as a whole. And I've said straight out that Long Island Romances and Romance Writers of America is the reason I'm published. Because of the support, the industry knowledge, the camaraderie, that feeling that you're not alone, because it's so easy to get isolated when you're just spinning your tails.
Exactly.
And if somebody doesn't have a job, like a day job, I can imagine it being very isolating. If you're just trying to do this on your own, it's very hard. I used to bring my books in for my colleagues to read. They were great. They were my first beta readers. They loved everything. But it was nice. It was good. I think a writer's group is the best thing ever for anybody.
Oh, yeah. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Jeannie Moon and I talking about her most history of where she got where she is of writing 16 books. And one of the things that I noticed on your Facebook page is that you really like dogs.
I love
dogs. Tell me about your three dogs.
My three dogs. I have two rescues, Holly and Casey. Holly's 9. And I've always had dogs. I've had dogs growing up. When I got married, I brought my dog into the house, and that dog raised my kids. And we had two Shelties that we lost. I mean, they were 13 and 14. And then we have Holly and we have Casey, who are two rescues. And a year and a half ago, we added Riley to the mix. And Riley is a male rough collie. He's Lassie.
Okay.
And he's a tremendous amount of fun, but he is a handful, and he's huge. Like, a collie's supposed to be about 65 pounds. He's about 75.
Oh, nice.
He's a big dog.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy. But the girls keep him in line, so it's good.
Sure.
But they're all different. They all have different personalities. They give me different things. They know if I'm down, they know if I'm stressed, they know if I'm happy, they know when they can ask for treats. They just get it. I often tell my kids, I say, you need to behave more like the dogs. I used to tell them that all the time. You know, I said the dogs are more considerate sometimes.
Well, and, you know, that's something that I noticed with your books is you always have this great camaraderie, whether it's, you know, family and pets. And, you know, there's always this mix of things like with one of your most recent releases from the Minna Marietta series.
Mm-hmm.
He finds a puppy. There's a puppy in it.
The puppy.
And
Zero.
So it's this great, and it's this great, you know, automatically already know we love Jonah. I mean, we already know this, the hero. But, I mean, it just makes him even more swoon-worthy, I guess. And I think it's fun to see that, you know, pull in that camaraderie or that common link that someone can have with your characters, you know, family, puppies. You know, it's a lot of fun to see that process.
The guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way the guys all bonded in that series was just a lot of fun. But I think that was also the way the five of us bonded, you know, through the process of writing this. It was like it was like we were sisters in a way, like bouncing stuff off and going, wait, why are you doing this to me now? kind of thing.
Right.
Like, okay, all right, I got this. So, but it was good. It was great. And
so
it made the
book
more fun.
For those of you wondering what we're talking about, the Men of Marietta series with Thule Publishing, Jane Porter, the founder and a woman extraordinaire, came up with this great idea of talking about five guys or first responders that needed to raise money for a Boys and Girls Club in the fictitious town of Marietta, Montana. And our guys, there was the first five books was The Bachelor Bake Off, which was wonderfully sweet romances. But we were the saucy side. And so Jeannie was the third book of the series. Mine was the fifth. But it was fun to talk to each other, you know, on Facebook pages and in person to say, what's this and what do you have? And so, yeah, that bonding. And then, you know, you bring each other's pets and family and everything, just pull that thread all the way through. So
yeah, we did.
It was,
and we, you know, we brought the heroes and heroines. They were all, you know, threaded through the whole series. And that's the beauty of those multi-author series, those continuity pieces. They were great. And I've had a lot of fun. I've learned a lot writing those.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot about managing timelines and managing, you know, big ensemble casts, which is what happens when you have them. And it's been a great experience. And I love Thule, and right now my books are all going to be coming out with Thule. My next four will be coming out with them, and I'm, you know, everybody's like, oh, don't you want to go back to New York? Because I did publish in New York, and I was like, not right now. I'm okay.
I'm good.
You know, I was like, maybe
and these
in the
are all
future,
part of
I said,
your...
but right now I'm good.
So these are the next four books. So you have Then Came You, and this is the first of the four? The Compass Cove series?
The Compass Cove series. It's the first book.
Okay, so tell me about the first book, Then Came You.
Then Came You is a story of Mia DeAngelis and Adam Miller, and two polar opposites, or so they think, but really what you have are two people who are on a journey to find where they fit in. And the whole premise of Compass Cove, and I talk about the lore of the town, and it's a town that's set on the north shore of Long Island, not too far from actually the geography is actually not too far from where I live and where I grew up, because I've lived here my whole life. My father lived here his whole life, so I know the area well. I know the fact that some of these towns, you know, you think Long Island, you think it tends to be this much, you know, more everybody talks like this, and you're all very citified, and it's. The North Shore is very New England. And the North and South Shore are very different personalities. But the North Shore is very much like New England, and it's hilly, it's lots of trees, it borders Long Island Sound, so the coves and the harbors and everything tend to be a little bit quieter. Some of the towns, the families have been there for generations, and the town that Compass Cove is based on actually pretty much only has one road in, and it's way north. And it isolates it. It kind of cuts it off from becoming, as I call it, a trendy version of itself. Which is what my town has. It's fabulous restaurants, but it's very hip. Whereas the town that I base Compass Cove on is not as hip. It's still a little bit more mom and pop, which is the beauty of it.
Right.
And that's what I love so much. And it's got this, the lure is attached to a compass that brought two people together hundreds of years ago. And
okay.
The whole premise is that your heart goes there to find its true north.
Okay.
Hearts meant to love will always find each other. And so that's the whole thread that's going to run through all the books, that these are people that are searching for their true north. And,
okay.
You know, finding that belonging, finding that place they can call theirs. So the first book, it's coming out September 26th. I don't
okay.
have release dates for the other three yet, but I'm guessing
okay.
probably every 5 or 6 months, you know, once they tell, they set the publication schedule. But my cover is stunning. It's soft
it
and romantic, and it's so beautiful. It's just, I'm so excited about these books.
So
I love these characters.
If you want to see Jeannie Moon's book cover, go to her website.
Mm-hmm.
It is tremendous. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's at www.jeannie, and that's with two N's, i.e., moon.com. And, I mean, I love that. Now, do you have titles for the other three?
Actually,
are you still, is it work in progress?
I've been bouncing them around with the team over the past couple of days, and
yeah.
we'll probably be able to release those, I'd say, sometime next week. That
Fabulous.
We'll have a better hand on them. Yeah, we're excited. I'm finishing up book two now,
okay.
and I have my lost Lammy Jordan, who is, you know, was found out her fiance was cheating on her the night before their wedding,
yeah.
and
no,
and Nick, who was a naval doctor,
mm-hmm.
who was stationed in Afghanistan at a hospital but was injured, and so he's got to come back now home. To kind of figure out what he's going to do next.
Oh, wow.
Because he's, yeah, and he's, you know, I like Nick. He's serious, but he's going to fall so hard for her. It's going to be so awesome watching him go down for the third time. It's going to be amazing. And she's resisting,
well,
you know, she's gun shy. She's like, yeah, you're nice, but no.
No, thanks. So when you wrote your Forever Love series, I noticed that you had this really nice little thread where you'd have, you know, the first book, and then you had the second book was the brother of the third,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you
yeah.
had this wonderful weave going on through. So you always
yeah.
had an overlap character. Are you doing the same thing for this series
yes.
as well?
Yeah, actually, the four heroines become, when Mia comes into town, two of the book's heroines are already friends. Mia and one of the heroines, because her family, her parents grew up in Compass Cove and then moved away.
Okay.
One of them is a childhood friend of hers, and then the other one is a college friend of hers. So these four women form a bond, and each of them will get a story. So
okay.
they're going to be woven throughout. They'll be all in each other's business. It'll be great. So
I love it.
Yeah.
So we have about a minute left, and so I wanted to let everybody know that you will be at Romance Writers of America in Orlando
mm-hmm.
in July, but
yeah.
you will be at the Book Obsessed Chicks Beach Barbecue Bash in Lido Beach, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about that in about 30 seconds?
Yeah, it's a great gathering of authors and readers. It's run by Kim Rocha from Book Obsessed Chicks. You can register on, if you need the information, go to my Facebook page and ask me. I will send you to the page. I think you can register till June 1st. So
wonderful.
And it's a great day. It's a lot of fun out by the ocean. It's awesome.
And you guys just, you get hang out and talk about books?
We just hang out and there's
just
food
have it
and we talk books and there's raffles and yeah, we have a good time.
Gosh, that sounds, I may just have to take a flight up there.
You might.
So, from Texas,
I have a bed for you.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so, so much. Well, if you want to hear more about or read more about Jeannie Moon, go to her website at www.jeanniemoon.com. She's also on Facebook. And her son has a fantastic Instagram page that he's a photographer. And his name is Peter, P-E-T-E-R, dot clip, K-L-I-P. And so check him out because he does beautiful pictures that would fit your book covers beautifully well.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much, Jeannie, for bringing with us today.
Thank you so much.
That is it for sure, Readers Entertainment Radio, and we look forward to talking with everybody next week.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.